Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Kurt. Welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Kurt, how are you? Welcome to the Random Question. Random. Let's see here.
Let's get random.
Okay, let's do it. Okay.
Let's do this.
Okay. Growing up,
All right. Who
was the cool adult? Whether that was a relative, an uncle, your neighbor, just somebody, maybe a friend of the family, but they were always the cool adult, the kind of person that, you know, it's not that you don't look up to your parents. It's just different when they're not your parents.
Yeah.
That would be my Aunt Carla.
Okay.
What made Aunt Carla cool?
Well, she taught me how to play cards and a little bit of chess. So, she was just like the fun aunt to be around. And may have saved my life as well.
How's that?
I got hit in the middle of the head with a baseball bat playing soccer with, or playing hockey with a soccer ball and aluminum baseball bats. And so.
How old were you?
That's a good question. I think I was about 8.
You don't remember because you got hit in the head.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, my whole head swelled up, looked like a raccoon. The other kids in the neighborhood they treated me like I had, you know, leprosy or something. So it was.
Well, kids just get scared. You know, they just tend to run away when bad things happen because they don't want to get blamed for anything.
That is exactly it.
But they're also looking at me and thinking that I'm diseased or something. It's like, no, I got hit in the nose with a baseball bat. So, But anyway, Aunt Carla was the cool one.
I had a cool aunt, too.
Is she still around, Aunt Carla?
I think so. She's been going through some rough times, unfortunately, and I can't connect with her. Her oldest, her son just died of cancer.
Oh, damn.
Her other son committed suicide 4 years ago. And so it's like, it's really a dichotomy if you think about it, that she had that much energy and vibrance and everything and then has to go through all of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my heart goes out to her, but she was my favorite. She was the cool one.
Okay.
Well,
I can tell you this. My neighbor Bill Simler growing up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he had a pool in his backyard. Free access.
Right.
Anytime I wanted to go. And he had to work during the day. So in the summertime when, you know, you're not going to school or whatever, I could go over there and get into his pool, and I'd spend the entire day at his pool. He would leave the slider door open downstairs. He had a kegerator down there.
Ooh.
And his rule was one beer.
Yeah.
One beer. That's it.
You can have one
beer during the day while you're out there. I don't want you to drown. Your friends cannot know about this.
If you have
other friends come over, you are not all getting a beer. It's just when you are over there on your own, you're going to get a beer. Bill also, he distributed all the magazines and newspapers to the town that I lived in growing up in the county. That means he filled all the racks at the Walgreens, your QFCs of the world.
Right.
They had magazine sections and all that. The newspaper store downtown, the magazine store, he owned that. But you have to remember, when new issues of something come out, whether it's monthly, weekly, or whatever the deal is, all right, Time Magazine used to be a weekly publication.
Right.
after that week is over with, they no longer sell that publication. So there's a new one. So what they would do was they would cut off the front cover of the magazine and just the name, just the top part.
Right.
And they would send that back, and then they would get reimbursed for those magazines that did not sell. He also had the biggest porn in his newspaper shop. The biggest, like, you went into a different room.
Yeah, of course.
These were also on a monthly basis. Some were on a tri-month. Either way, when he got done with it, once he cut that top off, swank, and he kept the name and sent it back, it was free. He did not care.
Not his problem.
What we took. He had to dispose of that at the dump one way or another. So he would give us any mag. So I read Sports Illustrated growing up as a kid, and not one of them had a cover on it.
They never had a cover.
They were all a week old.
All right.
But I could go over there and get, you know, anything I want. What was the baseball newspaper back in the day that was an extensive, kind of like a folded magazine?
My brother used to get it, and I cannot remember
the Sporting name. News.
Yeah, something like
Sporting News.
Though. Yeah.
Sporting News.
But just all this weird stuff. Like, even if you're, like, motorcycle magazines. Just,
yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to just get into whatever you wanted to get into, it was just, I would come home with a stack this big of the new National Geographic, just things that, Mad Magazine, Crack Magazine, you know, all those different things. And he would hire me to do some side jobs. And then when I got to be in high school, my stepfather wasn't real keen on buying me a car because he wanted me to earn enough money to buy said car.
Of course.
I think I had $300, so I did buy a car. That car was good for about 2 weeks before it blew up.
Yeah.
So I'm starting again from square one, trying to buy another car. In that meantime, I had a girlfriend. And Bill had an extra car. And he was like, look, you put gas in that car, you know, Friday, Saturday nights. If you want to go out on a date, you cannot go out with your friends.
Right.
This is not for you to drive around with your idiot friends, because he knew every single one of them. This is for you to go on a date if you want to. And tried and true, for the couple of years that I could drive in high school, if I had a date, I could say, Bill, can I borrow your Subaru, whatever, station wagon?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was wheels, and it got me there. And then he had a 300ZX.
Did he ever let you borrow that?
That was his wife's car. That was what she wanted to. But on my prom night, I was allowed to take that car and go to prom in that car. So as far as, like, being just a cool adult, like, he was the guy that was, I mean, right next door. If I ever needed anything, I could go over and ask him, and he would never rat to my parents about anything.
Sure.
You know, it was never, he would just be, like, he found a condom in his car one time. And he never told my parents about it. He was just cool about it. He's like, okay, like, guess what you're going to do this weekend? You're going to detail my car.
Yeah, right.
That's, I think, sometimes, too, it doesn't even have to be, like, family, right? Like, I had a guy that coached me, right? You guys met him, Pat Prada.
Mm-hmm.
Then as I got older, like, he was a DeMatha guy, I was a DeMatha guy. Like, I'd babysit his kids sometimes. But same thing, like, got to a certain age. Like, I remember going to I don't know if it was prom or, like, a homecoming. And Pat and his wife, we were just going to, like, a TGI Fridays or whatever. And he randomly called me earlier that day and was like, you going to the dance? I said, yeah, coach. Good for you. Blah, blah, blah. So then we go. I mean, you know, it's, you know, 10 people, whatever. You're kids. I mean, you're teenagers. It's not a big bill. But then the waitress comes over and it's like, it's paid for. And we're like, it's paid for. And there was Pat and his wife. They were just sitting at the bar, basically drinking, waiting for us to get there so they could pay the bill.
Nice.
And that just, is, you know, cool. Just stuff like that.
Yeah, I move too much for that to happen, man.
Yeah.
Well, I had a great aunt, and it's funny because she went from it. She's still my favorite aunt, but now she is my kid's favorite aunt. I cannot explain it, man. She just brings the life to the party, so to speak. So if we say, hey, man, you're going to see Tia, which is Spanish for aunt. That's what they call her. Don't know why. But if I just mention her name, the kids light up. They are so happy to see her. But same kind of thing where I'm sure there's a million things she never shared with my parents, which is probably for the better. She won't let me forget it. You know, she still calls me Stephen Gregory. That's all she ever calls me. And she is a real cool chick, but, like, no nonsense, never cusses. She's the one that she went through breast cancer, right? And it sucked. Because, like our caller said, you know, it seems like the most decent people go through the worst. So she went through breast cancer, went through remission. It came back. All this stuff. So finally, she beats breast cancer, but she's like, look, man, I still want boobs, because she got a double mastectomy. So she gets boobs put in, and she's always been a member of her church. Always been a member of the same church, whatever. So she had called the preacher or priest, whatever, to say, hey, I'm not going to be there this week. I'm still dealing with my recovery. She's playing that card. The truth is, she had new boobs, and as she said, I dressed like a hoochie mama, that's her quote, and flew to Vegas. So she's in Vegas. She goes there solo. And she's like, I am walking down the strip. And she's doing everything I can just to kind of shake my boobs. Because she's like, I want men to notice. And then I hear this voice say, Sister Brown. And I turn around, and there's the preacher with the congregation. They're there. Oh, yeah. She's like, they were there for something, man. She's like, it was such a bad moment. She's like, I'm just dressed like a hoochie mama, and the preacher's looking at me going, Sister Brown.
You know what? He didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He didn't care.
You seem to have made a strong recovery. She's like, I sure did. Thank you, guys.
Coaches that were cool, that treated you like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would kick your ass. But
of course.
They I mean, like a drill sergeant. But when it came time to not being in that situation where they weren't actively coaching you, couldn't be better guys. Didn't want to. They would bend over backwards to help you out.
Of course.
Any way they could. But if you effed up as a member of their team, forget about it. I mean, you're going to pay the price then. But when that's all said and done, you learned your lesson. That's all it was then.
Yeah. Once you pay your debt, it should be done.
Right. And as far as radio, I started in radio when I was 16, 17 years old. There were groups of guys that really wanted to help.
Yeah.
They really wanted you to learn. They really wanted you to be interested in what you were doing. And a lot of the times, I can look back now, typically in radio when you're on the air, you have a stack of production to do. Production is the commercials and everything you do in between. So, you know, whether it's the latest Safeway ad or whatever people are running, you update those. And they would get these giant stacks of production that they would be needing to do at the end of every shift. And, you know, Jim Stallings would say, hey, do you want to learn how to do this? You're going to do my production. You know, I will voice it, but you are going to put everything together. You're going to learn how to do all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take the time to be over your shoulder. I'm going to physically be here.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you out. I'm going to teach you how to do all this stuff. I'll do this one. You do these three or four over here. And just learning how to do different things and use different equipment. And, you know, I don't know anymore. Mentoring-wise, how prevalent that is in a lot of industries. But at that point in time, it was pretty refreshing. And it was,
You know, I don't know because it's been so long. And I will say, in that respect, because when I got into radio,
basically you're an apprentice, you know?
Right. But I told them what I wanted to do. So certain things, I'm like, I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to do it. I got one focus. And we're pretty much doing that show now, right? But I'm like, that's it. It's the only reason I do radio. I don't get the other stuff. So not everybody wants to hear that. And a lot of guys hated me for that. And I'm okay with that. But there was one guy who immediately said, you know, man, I like where your head is, Drep.
Yeah.
So he said, look, you're going to stay after hours, and we're going to cut some crap. But it's like, if you're going to do it,
you got to learn.
Then you're going to do it, man. And the other guy is a guy who inevitably kind of got us the gig here. It's just that he was not cool the entire time we knew him. All we did was get in trouble. We just didn't realize how much he had our back at the time because he's always screaming at us. And then one day it kind of hit us like, oh, he must have liked this. A, that's why he didn't fire us. B, that's why he kind of let us do pretty much what we wanted to do, right? He would reel us in, but at the time, you don't know it. Now, when we see this guy and he talks, he's like, oh, I always loved you guys. He's like, it's hard to be your boss, but he's like, I really enjoyed what you guys were doing. I liked what you guys wanted to do. I liked the direction you were going. I said, but you never said that. He's like, no, because you're going to do it anyway. Right. Like, I didn't have to encourage you to do what you're going to do because you guys are built that way.
And as far as that show goes that we did, it was much worse than what you're listening to right now.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, you get away with it.
We were younger. We were much more immature. So we were taking chances. But at that time when CBS was doing those stations.
But it didn't feel like chance.
That had Opie and Anthony. And then we came on
Stern,
after Howard
Dynamite,
Stern. And,
it was hot talk for guys.
Tom Likas could go on and, you know, call women bitches and no one cared. I mean, some people cared. But, I mean, that was just kind of. That was just kind of the mantra. So we were on that because we got an email about it the other day, and I wrote this guy back. I was like, look, man, the things that we did back then would be cringeworthy to me now as far as—
We would be fired.
As far as how things have evolved. And you listen to Howard now. He has evolved as someone who used to do—he would never do the lesbian dating game ever again.
Right.
He would never do a lot of the things that he used to do. Just as you get older, your interests change, and you don't go for the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
As much. But back then.
As much, yes.
I mean, but back then, man, I mean, that was kind of the. We were really having a pretty good time in the topics. Not all the time.
Not all the time. But the way we would treat anything, you know. And looking back, I'm like, my God, I cannot believe we got away with that. But we weren't trying to. It's who we were.
Right.
I mean, legitimately. I mean, that's what the one guy who says, look, I kind of got to the gig here is like, you guys were never putting on an act. It's like, that's what made you guys so dangerous. You were reckless by nature. not because you're trying to push buttons, you just legitimately did not care. And I said, wait, for the most part, I still don't, man.
We did a Sunday NFL show. We just got hammered the entire time because they asked us what we wanted to do, and we said no. And we said, are you going to pay us? And they said no. So we determined that since NFL football's on, we're in a jillions, we're going to get drunk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And talk
did
about,
not care.
And talk about football. We did zero research.
Right.
Absolutely zero research. We just sat there and spitballed about what we thought, just like last week when I said, man, Bills Commanders. I mean, absolutely nothing remotely close to me.
Yeah, it's not that hard to chat football.
It's not, man, because even the experts don't know.
But we had a boss that would come in on his day off and stand behind us at the broadcast area just to make sure that we did not drink and get so hammered.
But we drank, got hammered anyway.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there was a guy from CBS Sportsline back in the day, and he was driving through the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. And he was writing about just sports talk radio, and he happened to fall on our show. I think he probably thought he was listening to sports talk radio because we were leading into the games.
Right, we're leading into pregame.
All those different things. And he said the guys, and I can't remember what it was, but the guys had some insights that I thought were pretty good, but golly, were they hammered.
Yeah, it's like clearly inebriated.
Clearly inebriated.
That was his
clearly
exact quote.
Clearly inebriated.
But had some fine points about the game of football.
I thought
both of those things were true.
Reason we asked growing up, who was the cool adult? Everyone has heard stories about bad teachers who have crossed the line with students. This takes that to another level. An elementary school principal.
Oh, boy.
In Cocoa Beach, Florida, near Cape Canaveral, has been arrested after throwing a massive rager last Sunday night. Apparently, the guests included an elementary school teacher and more than 100 students.
Wait, wow. Is not elementary
not
school?
Not in elementary school, necessarily, but she was the elementary principal and teacher at the time. There was a lot of booze. The authorities say one minor was arrested for DUI after leaving the party. Another had to be treated by EMTs when they suffered an alcohol-related medical event on the principal's front lawn. The principal does not have any regrets. In fact, when she saw the lights flashing out front, she turned off all the outdoor lights and forced the EMTs to treat the kid using only their truck's headlights because she didn't want to disturb the neighbors.
You got to be kidding me.
Now, the principal was charged with child neglect, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and holding an open house party. The teacher was hit with similar charges. Both have been placed on administrative leave. Aren't any details in the age or condition of the kid who suffered the episode on the front lawn. But either
I told you, my brother, right, like, he doesn't coach or teach those kids anymore. But just because he's an administrator in that district, I mean, it's fine now as my niece and nephew are both over 21. But, like, if Maddie and her friends were having a drink, he'd be like, all right, I'm going to go inside.
Right.
Right? Or, you know, he's like, I'm not doing beer bong. You know what I mean? It's like, and I remember the one girl, she was like, well, I'm 20. My parents know I'm here. They know I'm having, he's like,
it's not legal.
But I work in this district. Like, I taught you.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not doing it. So that lady, like, that's just insanity to me to be that, like, I'm going to invite over former students who are still underage.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to a certain age, it's fine. And that's kind of the rule with DeMatha, right? Like, you get to be about 21. Once you're over 21.
Sure, it's cool. Legal.
A lot of those teachers I'm still friends with. Like, we literally will get lunch and beers every time I'm back there.
Right.
But I can't imagine them at 18 being like, Ted, come on over.
No. I mean, just to protect yourself, if nothing else.
Who are you guys allowed to drink around? Before you were legally allowed to drink. I mean, look, we all drank and snuck it with our friends. And when you move out at 18, 19 years old, or however are you, there's an understanding that you're going to find a way to get beer. Someone's going to
buy some. Buddy's mother, Tony's mom. Not all of us. Like, I was cool to drink with Tony. Guy named Paul was cool to drink with Tony. And Leon, you just accepted that he was going to be drinking if he was around Tony. But we either had to be at her house. But she knew if we went out, we're probably drinking. But Tony, he was our designated driver, right?
Yep.
Not because he was sober, but because he had a car, because that's how it works at that age. But she's like, I will drive you guys where you were going. You got to find your own way home, though. And you need to be done by X time. She never rolled over on anyone or anyone like that. And, like, Tony's a guy that drank blueberry schnapps and 7-Up, for Christ's sake. So, seriously, dude, I swear to God. And even to this day, he still would. So, if that's your kid, you don't see them as like drinking heavy because you're drinking some bitch ass drinks in the first place, but she thought we were all drinking that and we let her believe that.
Right.
It's like, no, that's your son drinking that stuff, man. We're drinking beer, we're drinking whiskey, and granted, at that time, it's all the cheap stuff. She knew, but she was cool about it, kept it hush hush. But with that in mind, anytime that we knew we were quote unquote on her watch, we never got crazy.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. You know, you'd be a little drunk, but drunk, and then you pass out. But
yeah, my family, if it was a family function, and you were, I don't know, 16 or whatever, people would sneak you a drink, and then, like, I had some friends would come over, and my mom didn't really care, but it was the same rule. Like, she knew we probably had a 12-pack between three of us, but we weren't allowed to leave.
Yeah,
right. Correct, you had to correct, stay there, right. And then yeah. I had another buddy, Brendan, same thing. Like, his parents would let us hang out down there. I'm pretty sure they knew we had, like, you know, that's like when you would have a bottle of Jack and mix it with lemonade or something
right.
just awful. But same thing. There was a basement in that house, and we would go down to the basement, and his dad was basically like, I'm not going to bug you guys, but I do not want to see you up here. Like, if you want a bag of chips, take them down. Because, like, basically him and his wife wanted to watch a movie, and, like, don't bug us.
Yeah. My buddy Pat's neighbor, he was a Marine. And, you know, when you think about a Marine, you think about a guy that has about the lifespan of an NFL football player as far as being active yeah. and being one, you know, a Marine, right? He was a lifer. So he seemed a lot older to me, but he would still get called, and he would be gone for months at a time. So when he came back, he had a deck out back. He had a boombox. This is the, you know, this is 87, 86. Right. He was always listening to what we thought was the coolest music in the world. Love Bad Company.
All right.
He loved the Eagles. He loved, you know, like all these, you know, just Boston, Kansas, REO Speedwagon.
He's the man.
He was the guy who was in there. Hey, man, you ever heard of 38 Special?
Right,
you know,
right.
He was the guy that was, you know, here's Molly Hatchet, man. Check this stuff out. But he would let you drink beer, and he was big into Kentucky bourbon, so he always had a bottle of Old Forester or a bottle of Old or Forester or Old Granddad, one of those two. And we would try to sip it and drink it.
Could you even handle it then?
I mean, that stuff was 100 proof. And yeah. So we were just fine sipping on beers. But his rule was he knew we were all staying at Pat's house because we would only drink if we could stay in Pat's basement.
Yeah.
So that'd be a sleepover. I couldn't go back home smelling like.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. That was like the basement rule.
Smelling like, you know, beer or whatever. But, you know, his thing was he'd always sit you down. He'd say, if I ever find out that you are smoking grass, you will never come to my house again. Oh. You will never. I mean, he considered marijuana like you would consider OxyContin
right.
or heroin. Like, it was in the same family.
My mom was the same way. She'd let a string in that base. But one friend, I remember, brought over weed, and he was banished from our house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was strict about it. I mean, like, that's if I ever even
that's
catch
for hippies, Miles.
If I ever catch even a scent of it floating into my yard, if I find out.
Oh, yeah.
Any of you start going down that dirty road.
That dirt path to
hell.
He
is just ripping cigarettes.
Gateway drug,
he's
baby.
Ripping cigarettes, one lighting one after
right,
the other.
Right, drinking whiskey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're throwing
don't
beers.
Don't be stupid.
Throwing beers at us, teaching us how to shotgun beers by biting the can.
Right.
All the things, you know. I'm dead serious. But, yeah, if I find out you're smoking that grass, never invited to my house again.